Hello, and welcome to today's episode of Desperately Seeking Self podcast. I'm Brooke Collins, your host, and I know all of you on the Zoom meeting this evening, so nice to see everybody. This is my new platform, Doing Things Live. I'm going to find some women who are willing to go on live video with me so that I can stream these live to YouTube. So even if that's somebody that's just listening to the podcast on iTunes or Spotify or wherever you listen to podcasts and you're interested in that, go ahead and shoot me an email at lifecoachbrooke@gmail.com. And I'll add you to the list of people willing to be on the live stream to YouTube or to Instagram. That will be very helpful for me. So without further ado, I also want to remind everybody that they can download my 10 practical tips for going alcohol free workbook, which is on my website. It's located on my website. I have it linked to my Instagram, my TikTok, all of the platforms, but I will definitely put the link to be able to download that down below in the show notes. My allergies are really bad, so the audio on this is probably going to be really crazy when I listen to it. So I just want to start by saying that I'm glad that you guys are all here tonight. I appreciate it. And I'm going to be talking about looking at why we're getting sober. So it's sort of like having some forethought about why you're getting sober, questions to ask yourself about what sobriety will do for you and why you're interested in it. And obviously I'm speaking to the gray area drinkers or the sober curious here today, tonight, because I think if you are so progressed that your life is unmanageable and it's falling apart, you pretty much know why you need to give up alcohol and you don't need to be asking yourself this series of questions. It's not necessary. You already know. And the main goal for you is just focusing on not picking up a drink today. So if you are ever in need of any help with not picking up a drink today, please just shoot me a DM on any of the platforms or email me. And I'd be happy to help you and support you get sobriety. So everything I do when I ask questions and when I look at sobriety is in a 90-day bracket. Why? Because when I got sober in 2012, it was very, very strict 90 and 90 meetings. You're going to do 90 meetings in 90 days, right? And today, I can't imagine. I probably would have been able to do 180 in 90 with the online platforms and the ability to go to meetings all over the world at any time of day. It's just so cool to me. But nonetheless, 90 days, fixating on 90 days, focusing on where you want to be in 90 days, where you're planning on going, and how you're going to get there. And so, like, I like to write everything down. I don't like to type it or put it in my phone. I truly like to write everything down, pen to paper, so that I can focus on what it is that I need to be focusing on. And it helps me just with my ADD, to be honest, just to like look at things. But I do think that there's something very powerful about writing it down on paper. So you can see my journal here. Nothing fancy, right? Like, this is what I have, like my goals. And I actually, this is a full focus planner. You don't have to have a full focus planner. I just have this because it helps me in every area of my life, but you can just get a notebook up at Walgreens and you're good to go. So let's go ahead and talk about questions to ask yourself when you're getting sober, right? Number one, question always is, why am I doing this, right? Why am I getting sober? Why do I want to get sober? Why do I want to quit drinking? Why? What's the why? You want to tap into that. And you can just list one, two, or three things, and just, it doesn't have to be so deep. This is not a coaching exercise. This is not a full introspection, right? These are just questions that you should, since you're interested in quitting drinking and getting sober, you should be able to answer pretty quickly about why you want to do it for yourself, because everyone's answers are going to be different. Next, we have looking at what are the benefits, right? You've answered why. So let's look at what are the benefits of me quitting drinking? What's the benefit of me getting sober? How will it impact my life for the better if I'm not drinking anymore? What are the things you can, and again, you can list, you know, three things, and that should be more than enough. If you have 20 things, amen, put them down, jot them down. But after that one, you want to start looking at your life, right? So who around me will benefit from me doing sobriety, not drinking, doing all the things to help keep me sober, right? Who's going to benefit around me from that? You know, like your husband, your kids, your parents, your, you know, your coworkers, your siblings, friends, whoever. I mean, whoever's in your life, who's going to benefit from you no longer drinking? Then we're going to look at, I like to place myself in a visualization, like a future. I always like to look at my future self. So 90 days from now, like, how do I want to feel because I'm not drinking, right? How do I want to feel? I want to feel good. I think it's important to note, while I say I want to feel good, that there are going to be challenging days in 90 days of not drinking. There are going to be challenging days. We were not meant to be happy all the time. We're human beings. We're meant to feel things, all the things, the good and the bad. And guess what? Alcohol just numbs out all of it. It's an easy, quick, knee-jerk solution to everything. And most of us in our society are used to grabbing a drink to quickly feel better, to quickly feel happier, to quickly relieve pain, to quickly, you know, relieve guilt or remorse or regret or any of the other feelings, right? It is what we do. And so recognizing that you are now going to have to switch and shift your thinking, that it's not going to be quick. You're not going to have a drink to slide, just shoot it down. And in 30 seconds, you're going to feel the relief from the alcohol hitting your body. It is going to take some thought, right? So, you know, what do I want to feel? I do things based on how I want to feel today. I don't think I necessarily did them when I got sober, but I was in the category of the cluster F, which I just needed to not drink for a day and focus on that. Let's put it there for today. So when you look at, you know, what do I want to feel like, tap into that a little bit more. And what will I not have to worry about if I'm not drinking, right? What won't I have to worry about anymore when I'm no longer drinking alcohol? Is it, I'm not going to have to worry about feeling like shit the next morning? Is it, I'm not going to have to worry about feeling guilty the next day? Is it, I'm going to remember, you know, everything that happened the night before? Important questions for everyone, just taking it to that next level. What do I not have to worry about? Like when I was at the end of my drinking, I was constantly reaching for my cell phone, and looking for my keys. When I woke up, where are my car keys? Where's my phone? Where's my purse? Every single morning, every morning, sometimes at 4 a.m. you know? So I think that recognizing that there's going to be some struggle relaxing, and that's okay. You know, like it's hard to relax, and we are completely bombarded by advertisements and a culture full of relaxation has to include wine or a drink or, you know, that for the stress release and being able to actually unwind. In fact, when I meet new people or, you know, foster new friendships, a lot of times I've had like two friends be like, man, you got like a shit ton of stress, Brooke, but like, you don't get to like release like we do. Like you don't get to unwind because you have a drink. So I do unwind. I just don't unwind with alcohol, right? Like I take a bath, or I get massages. And that is something I do for myself, for my relaxation every other week. I get massages and Reiki from my massage therapist, Harv, who is a godsend and who is able to shift my energy as well as get rid of all the knots that are in my body that like hold on to the tension. So can't recommend massages enough for people. So looking at the questions again, right? What am I going to do when people want me to drink? We live in a culture of drinking, right? People are going to want you to drink with them. So what am I going to do when someone offers me alcohol, right? Let's ask ourselves how we're feeling about the yourself so far and the questions, right? On a scale of 1 to 10, how good are you feeling? How confident are you feeling? How willing are you to make progress, make mistakes, right? Because this is not, when you're looking at things from the lens that you're looking at it from, it's okay to look at it like, I'm going to abstain completely, but here, if you fall off, don't sit and berate yourself for the next 10 days. You jump right back on, right? Like the reality is you can choose today to never have another drink again in your life and find the support and use the resources and the tools and go to meetings and get a coach and, you know, dive right into all the things in the sober community around the world online. You know, that's one of the great things about the world that we live in today. There are a ton of sober communities, just Instagram, Clubhouse, TikTok, Facebook, all these groups, all these wonderful supportive groups to help you on your journey. And I think that that's an incredible thing. But like, if you make a mistake, it's okay. You know, I didn't realize until I started getting a couple hundred days under behind me without drinking that how many people actually relapse, how many people don't maintain sobriety. You know, it's a high percentage. Probably I don't, my husband isn't around or I'd flag him over because he's a therapist, certified addictions therapist, but he, I think it's like 93 or 94%. It might be higher than that, but don't quote me on that. Anyways, there's going to be days that are harder than others. And some of you will be able to not cave to the yes. I don't want to say cave, that's the wrong word, but some of you will not be able to resist the knee jerk of I'm drinking. So what I like to look at when I look at sobriety is, yes, I understand today that if I quit drinking today, that in 3 days, I'm going to want a fucking drink because that is what I've been conditioned to do since I was a teenager, right? What I focus on instead of the wanting of the drink tripping me up, I focus on how do I stop and change the yes, the going for it, the pouring the drink, right? There's steps that come. That's why like my sponsor always says, you know, you can see people relapsing from long before they actually take a drink. There's behaviors and alcoholism is it feeds off of denial. It thrives because of the denial and we're able to tell ourselves anything to be able to get that fixed, right? But maybe you're not an alcoholic. Maybe you're just gray area drinking and you're sick of blacking out and you're sick of drinking a bottle of wine and feeling like shit every morning. Or maybe you're just trying to be healthy because cancer runs in your family and you want to like eliminate toxins and things that are polluting your body, right? That is, you know, all understandable reasons. And I feel like at some point, some of those might be more motivating than others for people. But we're not supposed to be perfect, right? But looking at the yes, what am I doing? Because it takes steps for me to have a drink today. Let me describe it. For me to have a drink today, okay, there are days, I'm 9.5 years sober. There are still days where I think about drinking. I don't think I've had a craving for drinking in a long time. But I have put myself in a bubble. My husband is sober. Majority of my friends are sober. I work in a community, helping other people, empowering them to be confident, to be, you know, to quit drinking alcohol. And so I've really made my whole life based around sobriety. But, you know, here's the thing. If I were to have a drink today, I would have to what? Have the thought, I'm stressed, I'm having a drink, right? Next, I'm going to have to get in the car because I don't have alcohol at my house. I don't have any alcohol at my house. The rare occasion I do have alcohol at my house is if we've had a party and our normie friends are over and they either bring their own stuff and they forget it, or, you know, we're having a big party and there's just a small cooler full of something, but I don't keep alcohol in my house. So I have to go to the store to get alcohol, right? Then once I get to the store, I got to get out of my car. I got to go in the store. I've got to pick out what I'm drinking. I've got to pay the person that I'm paying to get the alcohol, right? The store. Then I've got to get it in my car. I have to drive back home. So do you see all these opportunities for me personally to not follow through with the craving and the desire to have a drink, because there's all these steps in between. I'm not saying it's not possible. Anything's possible. And I fully believe I live in these 24 hours and, you know, you never know. I'm never going to be cocky enough to think that a relapse can't happen to me. So all of those steps though, to me right now, I'm like, well, shit, I had like 10 opportunities to just say, you know what? Maybe I'm going to go for a walk. Maybe I'm just going to grab a chocolate bar. Maybe I'm going to call an old friend and catch up and get out of my head, right? Running, biking, swimming, stopping at a friend's house, calling somebody who's an accountability partner for you, whether that be a sponsor or a good friend who knows what you're doing and supports it. All of those things are what we do. And those are the questions we ask ourselves in those moments of, I really need to effing drink, right? Because you don't need to effing drink. That's just your brain's way of habitually healing itself. It's a habit. That is how you have dealt with stress, dealt with happiness, dealt with sadness, dealt with pain, dealt with every emotion on the planet, celebration, you know, have a drink. It's crazy when you really start to narrow it down to how alcohol centered the society as a whole is. And I mean, the worldwide society, not just the United States, right? So looking at what we can do instead of grabbing a drink, I'm going to do X, Y, and Z, and having a plan in place. And you know what? If the plan doesn't work, chuck it in the fuck it bucket and move on. Like it's not something to sit and fixate on that this isn't working. This isn't working. This isn't working. And you have a drink. Like, okay, so you had a drink. Maybe you had an entire bottle of vodka. Hopefully you live to see tomorrow. Hopefully you don't get arrested. Hopefully you don't wind up in a car accident. I mean, hopefully you're safe, right? So I just think if we spent time wondering, you know, if this is going to work, if I do this, then what? And we just focus on the solutions, because I really think that we can look at making progress and knowing that, you know what, I'm just going to figure this out. I listened to Losing 100 Pounds with Corinne Crabtree all the time. And she's real big on, I'm just going to figure this thing out. I'm going to figure it out, right? So that's what we need to do. I'm just trying to figure this out. You're trying to figure out not drinking every day. You're trying to figure out how to not feel like shit about yourself, about how you're waking up and feeling like crap and bloated and exhausted and just weathered. That's how I felt. That's how I looked the end of my drinking. But I think that knowing that you're going to have to get rid of all the things that you've thought in terms of dealing with life. on life's terms. All the emotions, all of the celebrations, all of the stress, all of the grief, all of the happiness, all of the worry, all of the fear, you know, all things that we deal with alcohol. Now we're going to have to, you know, look at that differently and figure it out how we're going to deal with it. And for you, it could be one thing. You might think you might be able to handle a craving and do something to figure it out and blow beyond it by running. Maybe you're a biker. You might think like, oh, that's what I'm going to do. And it might be something completely different once you get going and you get into it. That's what the 90 days are going to do for you. That's what's going to happen. You're going to figure it out. What works, what doesn't. What's working, what doesn't. I'm not asking for perfection at anybody in terms of looking at not drinking today. The choice is yours, okay? It is always about progress. And I have a sponsor who reminds me all the time, but for the grace of God, go I, and offer people grace and know that it's a choice. And we can choose for 90 days to not drink and see what happens in our life. Because what will your life look like in 90 days when you focus on making changes with your drinking? What will your life look like? Last couple questions. What is my biggest obstacle for the first, however desperate or not desperate, however you are shifting your thoughts, you can do 7 days. What's my biggest obstacle in the first 7 days? What's, you know, 20 days, 30 days, but stick in the 30 day range. But what's my biggest obstacle in that beginning 30 days? When you look at that, that's gonna, you know, be extremely helpful, right? What impact can I expect to happen on in my life if I commit to focusing on sobriety and not drinking? What's the impact? What will happen? What impact will it have on you? What's one thing that you know is going to be pretty fucking impactful, right? Because I know all of you, you're nodding. You all know. I've known you my whole life. So yeah, I know that look. And I just think getting out of your own way, looking at the obstacles, remembering that everything's going to be okay. And knowing that this is your choice. And I mean that wholeheartedly. If you don't ever want to drink again, you don't have to. You can make the choice not to, and then you can figure it out. And I can be there to help you figure it out, or you can find meetings to help you figure it out. You can use me and meetings to figure it out. You can find another community that more aligns with you and gels with your mission and where you're at in your drinking. Or if this is it for you, awesome. You know, but make the choice and then let's figure it out. Let's figure it out together. I think the main thing in asking yourself these questions is for you to recognize and understand why you're doing this. How will your life change, right? What will make a difference for me in 90 days from now? What's the difference going to be? What's the impact going to be, right? Where will I see the most benefits of it? And how am I going to do it? So I think that that's something that is helpful in looking at not drinking anymore. Would you say that it is? Yeah, good. I'm just super grateful. Sorry about all the gross coughing and drinking water and my allergies are crazy. But I appreciate all of you being here and let's figure this out. And the good news is you don't have to figure it out alone because I'm here to walk beside you and hold your hand and help you get through it. I won't let you fall. if you allow yourself to step into who you want to be, I'm going to be right there with you, cheering you on in a sarcastic, but also very empowering, motivated way. All right. So thanks so much, guys. And thanks so much, everyone who tuned into today's episode of the Desperately Seeking Self podcast live. I'm getting ready to open up enrollment for the founding members of my sober course, a recovery program, 90-day, 12-week course that opens up to a community as well. So if that's something you're interested in, please shoot me an email, a DM on the social platforms, or go ahead and sign up for the wait list, which is linked in the notes below. Everything that happened here tonight that I'm talking about with these four women is going to be very, very typical meeting in the course program. So if this is something that you're interested in getting more of, please sign up for the wait list, because I guarantee you spots will fill. I'm keeping the first one unique and very, very intimate so that people can be comfortable sharing on a small scale level. And so I can give my best. So it will fill up quickly is my point. So I hope that you all have a great night and a wonderful Monday for the people listening to the show on the podcast platform. And I will see you guys all next week. And I hope wherever you are in the world that you take a little time to show a little kindness. Have a good one, guys. See you later.